Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Congratulations on getting through a 9-to-5. Thank you so much. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Sean Levine here. Brandon Kiley on the ones and twos. Taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up in about 45 minutes, we will go inside the mind of the machine. And inside the mind of the machine, there is no useless knowledge about movies like Mulan or Little Mermaid. We ain't got time for that, baby. It's hard to be the sports machine and the Disney machine.
That's what I'm saying.
You can't be both. You know what I mean? You can't be the sports machine and the...
What do y'all want from me?
Like, when you were talking about Ned Yost and his, like, myriad of interests, how, like, Ned likes astrology and baseball and hunting and fishing, that ain't you, my boy. You got a lot of strengths out here.
Mulan is not one of them.
that's not one of your strengths.
Or The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, no, none of those things. I would say movies after 2005, not really your category. Fair you know enough. What I mean? You kind of remember on A White Man Can't Jump whenever they did Foods with the Q and how, like, she lit up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah, no, I didn't know if you remember. I wanted a verbal clue.
It's not Mulan. Yes, it ain't no thing but a chicken wing on a string. Yes, I remember.
Yeah, you know, that would be your thing. Like, 90s Kansas City references? You'd be like James Holzhauer when it came to that on Jeopardy. You would knock that out of the park. What was the most popular ride at Worlds of Fun in 1993? Boom. What is Zambezi Zinger? Correct. You'd be dominating that segment, man.
Why can't you ask me those type of questions?
You know,
Mulan?
I promise the next time we play a game, I'll do a lot better than I just did. I failed you and the listener.
That's on me.
Oh, if you want it, I'll pass it.
That's on me.
I don't want it. If you want it, you can pass it. I was ready to fall on that sword for everybody.
And I appreciate that, but that's on me.
Oh, you got it then, hey. Direct all criticism to @SeanLevineKC on Twitter. Let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Man, he ain't going to see anything if you tell him to go on Twitter.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for mostly not Jewish city, now open in the Crossroads, and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio.
Can I read you guys this quote really quickly that has nothing to do with the top stories of the day in Kansas City, but still a very interesting quote? Every team but one would love to have Mike Tomlin as their coach, Pittsburgh Steelers players say. Is that true?
Nope.
Because, I mean, I assume that every team but one is the Patriots, right? I assume that's the team.
I mean, the Patriots, the Chiefs,
I wouldn't
the Seahawks,
trade
the Rams, the Saints, the Rams. They've all got a better coach.
Yeah, if I'm Kansas City, I don't trade them for Mike Tomlin. Seattle doesn't make that trade. The Rams don't make that trade. The Saints, like... So I hear what you're saying. I understand you want to defend your coach. That's not true, though.
I don't think the Colts make that trade.
And again, Mike Tomlin.
Eagles definitely don't make that trade.
Might be on the hot seat. If the Pittsburgh Steelers don't make the playoffs this year, I don't think Mike Tomlin comes back. I don't think Mike Tomlin is the coach next year. I think they've been looking for a reason to get rid of Mike Tomlin. If you miss the playoffs back-to-back years in Pittsburgh, that is the reason they need to fire you.
Especially with that talent. I understand that they don't have Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell, but they do have James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster and still have Ben Roethlisberger. They're a talented enough team. I'm not saying to go to the Super Bowl or anything like that, but certainly to make the playoffs.
You know, they should be a playoff-ish team. They had that talent last year. Their problem to me is not talent-wise. They don't seem to be pushing in the same direction. You hope now with no Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, and you have those clouds removed, you hope that everybody's on the same page. They got to get that defense together. Their defense is why they didn't make the playoffs last year.
First hit of the day is the Kansas City Royals. Kind of playing pretty well here in the second half.
The 2-2 pitch is swung on, hit to right field and deep. Into the corner it goes, and gone! This game is tied at 3 on home runs by Chesler Cuthbert and now Jorge Soler.
Royals completed their first 4-game winning streak of the year. Get excited, CDOT, with a 6-5 win over the White Sox. Keller got the win. Jorge Soler hit his 26th homer of the season. Ian Kennedy got his 16th save of the year. What do you make, CDOT, of the Royals starting the second half of the season by winning 6 of the first 7?
The Royals have played bad baseball for so long. I'm going to be the one to come on here and throw water on their fire when they're playing good baseball. You better enjoy it while they're playing good baseball. This is like whenever a store has a sale. You know that the sale's not going to last for forever. You might only have 2 more days to go get buy one, get one half off. So while they're doing deals, you need to head up to Target and go get the deals. While the Royals are playing good baseball, you need to be going to the game and watching them because it might not last very long.
Yeah, it sounds like you don't expect it to. It's been all about the starting pitching the second half of the season. Junis Sparkman, Danny Duffy, and Brad Keller. He was great again today. Only 4 earned runs in 30 innings so far for those 4 the second half of the season. That equates to a 189 opponent average. 6-1 the second half of the season. I didn't see that coming. The only loss was when they traded away Homer Bailey. Only 20 games back in the wild card seat, as you pointed out to me. Watch out. Here come the Royals.
They're on fire, man. All right, how hot would you say the Royals are?
I'd say hotter than Farrah Fawcett in a forest fire.
2 Are they hotter than Corey Dillon on penicillin? Because that might be hot.
Yeah, they're not.
Is that hot?
It could be. I mean, I don't want to really get into the ways that it could be hot, but it could be hot.
Hit number 2, Tyreek Hill. We haven't heard a whole lot of positive things about Tyreek this offseason. That changed when we heard this from Therese Paylor on the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast.
Tyreek Hill is in unbelievable shape right now. Mm-hmm. Just trust me on that. Like, it is, this is about to be the contract years of contract years. Like, if he gets a chance to play, and I think there's a significant amount of optimism coming out of Kansas City that he will play, and not just play, that, you know, the suspension, if there is one, will not be like too cumbersome.
Tyreek had 87 catches for 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns last year, but he's only 25 years old. He's only played receiver. This is going to be his 4th year playing receiver ever in his entire life. See, now, we underrated the fact that it is possible Tyreek Hill could actually be better this year than he has been in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we've underrated it or not. I think we properly put Tyreek into context. I think that Tyreek Hill is one of the 5 to 7 best wide receivers in the NFL. I think the wide receiver is so deep because of the rules and how good quarterback play is in the NFL, and there being more above average quarterbacks, that you can make a case that 7 guys are the best wide receiver in the NFL, and Tyreek is in that category. The next step is going to be, how do you put yourself definitively in that top 3? How do you put yourself in the category where people think you are the best receiver in the NFL? But I would say right now, the way they view DeAndre Hopkins.
There's probably like 5 or 6 different guys. I'd have DeAndre Hopkins at the top 2, but whether you're talking Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, still talking Antonio Brown, you can certainly throw Tyreek Hill into that conversation. And BK talked about motivation. I don't really care what the motivation is at this point for Tyreek Hill, whether it's pissed off at KCTV5, whether it's pissed off at Roger Goodell, whether it's because he's finally in an actual contract year, whatever it is, a motivated Tyreek Hill is a better Tyreek Hill than we saw even last year. You guys just gave us the numbers, double-digit touchdowns, close to 1,500 yards and 80 receptions. And they added Mecole Hardman. Now, I don't think the numbers are going to be there like they were last year, because I think at some point he's going to be suspended. But I do still think there's going to be a better version of Tyreek Hill to come this season and maybe next.
3. Final hit of the day is brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for mostly not Jewish city, now open in the Crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. The final hit is Frank Clark in the defensive attitude that he's bringing to this team. Travis Kelce actually talked about that with Bleacher Report earlier this week. Here's what he had to say about what Frank Clark can bring to the defense.
Frank's a dude, man. He is an absolute beast. And when we played him, it was like, all right, yeah, but we only got 1 week of that. I've been just watching him go to work and practice, and that dude.
You were probably trying to chip him a little
after.
Bit, too.
Yeah, no, I really didn't want anything to do with him, but he's a beast, man. I just appreciate how hard he works. You know, that's going to change the whole, like, kind of mindset of the defense of, like, you know what, we got to do.
C-Dot, we've talked about this before, but how much of an impact do you think Frank Clark can have on the overall mentality of the defense? Obviously, we all know he needs to be better, have the on-field impact, but what about the mentality side?
I actually want to talk about this a little bit more after the hits. Let me just ask this question, and we'll save it for after the hits. Has Travis Kelce even gone up against Frank Clark? He hasn't practiced this offseason, has he?
Mm-mm.
He's been hurt the whole time.
Hey, he's talking about watching.
Okay, I'm just saying. Jay Glazer asked him the question about chipping him, and he said he wanted nothing to do with it.
He's talking about in the game last year.
Okay, my bad. You're right. Make a good point. My apologies.
I think Frank Clark changes everything, because when you lose Dee Ford and Justin Houston, that equated to 28 sacks last year. Somebody's going to have to get to the quarterback. At some point, Chris Jones is going to show up, but I don't think he's going to have the season he had last year when it comes to a sack total. 15.5 sacks is a huge number from a defensive tackle, so let's say that goes down a little bit. Fortunately, Frank Clark, this is what he does. Gets to the quarterback consistently. The last 4 years, has had 10-plus sacks in Seattle, so I think he's going to do it again here in Kansas City. He's a huge upgrade, and obviously, it completely changes the mindset of a defense last year that pretty much ranked last in every important category.
And that concludes the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Let's do a Disney thing again real quick, huh?
No, I'm good. I don't have any interest in doing that again. We do have one song we didn't play, but I have no interest in playing it again. Before we move forward, Do we have a Levine's list today? No. I haven't asked you that before. I wasn't sure if we had it. I don't know if I could really move forward in my day without 100% knowing if we had a Levine's list.
No,
today.
No list
I was
today.
I was ready for Levine's list. We don't got one?
No, no list today.
Oh, sorry. Man. How could you disappoint
me? Top 10 Disney movies Sean Levine's never seen.
Mulan, number one.
And the people. I can't believe you would do
us like
this.
We'll get back
to
it tomorrow.
I do want to play this audio for you very quickly. This has actually been my favorite piece of audio from the entire offseason with the Kansas City Chiefs. This 25 seconds I'm going to play you. We should have played every single day on this show, and I take full responsibility for not playing it. This was Frank Clark during OTAs. This was his conversation with James Palmer.
I feel like a whole lot of swag, a whole lot of game. At the end of the day, I feel like you got to have that. You got to have that. It's 2019. It's a different era of football. You know, it's a lot of throwing, a lot of smack talk going on, but I feel like you just gotta have a whole lot of swag, a different mentality, and you gotta let your nuts hang a little bit. Honestly, I feel like this is a sport where you can't be uptight, you can't be scared, and you can't be in fear.
I legitimately love that quote. I love it for a couple of different reasons. You guys remember a couple of years ago when Romeo Crennel was the coach, they had those signs outside the locker room that were like, play good football,
eliminate bad football,
yeah, and all that kind of stuff, and how like we in the media like love to poke fun at it. They should put a sign up that the defense should have to touch every day, like the play like a champion sign that says intensity and identity. Because the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs had neither of those.
I thought
those
you were going to say they should put up a sign that says left your nuts hang. That's why I was laughing. That would have been great.
I got no issue with that too. Last year, I thought it was too easy, even with their ability to get to the quarterback, to establish what you want to do against the Kansas City Chiefs defensively. The number one thing about defense to me, in whatever sport it is can you take away what you know the other team wants to do? Like we talk about the AFC Championship game. The Patriots clearly came in with the mindset of Tyreek Hill is not going to beat us today. He's too talented. He's too fast. He's too versatile. We'll let Sammy Watkins have 75 yards receiving, 85 yards. You know what we're not doing? We're not letting Tyreek Hill have five catches for 147 yards and bust this game completely wide open. Like, the Patriots have the ability to eliminate what you want to do well. Man, the Chiefs couldn't really do that. If we were discussing the Chiefs' defense and we were going into a game and there was something that you were worried about with the other team, they did that every single game, and just the Chiefs' offense was better and they could just score more points that could force you to keep up with them. If the Chiefs defense can get to the point of not even being an elite level defense, if they can get to the point of establishing an identity and establishing an intensity of, you're not going to run the ball on us. You're not going to be able to get 4 third-and-8 conversions against us in one drive and score touchdowns and just chew up clock the way that teams did. That would be a tremendous foundation to build a defense.
I'm with you, but they just have to do it in the playoffs. Because think about last year. The Chiefs went 12-4. They lost 4 games by a combined 17 points, and they had one of the worst defenses that we've ever seen. Last year, they won 12 regular season games because of their offense. This year, if they're going to win the West again, win 12 or 13 games, again, it's going to be because of their offense. They're going to score 32, 33, 35 points a game like they did last season. It comes down to the playoffs. Can the defense make a couple of stops this year that they didn't make last year? And I think they're improved enough that once the postseason comes around, I'm not going to pretend like I'm really confident in the defense or the defense is going to win them games, but I don't think the defense is going to cost them a game like it ended up being in overtime last year against the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case just because we haven't seen them play. So like, I'm not really definitive one way or the other about their defense. It's like very open into interpretation of what you think about this defense.
But you agree they're going to be better, right?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it's hard to be worse.
Yeah.
The question to me is not being better. It's how much better can you be? Because maybe this is a pessimistic way of looking at it. At some point, the Chiefs are going to have to win a game 24-21 against a good team because that's typically what happens in the NFL. Like what happened in the Super Bowl. It was a 13-3 football game. The Patriots can beat you a lot of different ways. They can win the shootout, as we've seen multiple times against the Kansas City Chiefs. They can also win the grind-it-out kind of game. Your defense has got to come to the party in those kind of games. As great as Mahomes was last year, man, every game he's not going out there throwing 300 yards and 3 touchdown passes for the rest of his career. At some point, your defense is going to have to elevate to the point of, man, you're not scoring 30 points with us. Last year's Chiefs team, for as great as they were, they could only beat you one kind of way. They could only beat you if their offense played an elite level and they scored 35 points or more, and then you had to play keep away with the offense, or you had to run the ball so much and keep their offense on the sideline. Man, it's not typically how great teams win championships or win games. That's what I want to see the defense. That's why I'm not necessarily caught up in the them being 20th or them being 19th. It's all numbers and semantics at that point. Can their defense get to a point where drives like what happened in the AFC Championship game don't happen? Because I think we can all identify, when the Patriots chose to receive the football and they went down the field on that first drive and they just James White and then a Sonny Michel and they paper cut you to death, I think we all realized that the Chiefs defense could not realistically stop the Patriots and that their offense was going to have to be all time if they had a chance to win that football
just game. The moves they made this offseason by adding Frank Clark, by adding Tyrann Mathieu, by signing Ogba, by going out there and drafting Juan Thornhill, I can tell you, and I'm not sure of it at 100%, that the defense is going to be better, and I would think that if they find themselves in a scenario like last year versus the Patriots in overtime, the defense is going to be good enough to not cost them a game. Now, again, I'm with you. I don't know if they're going to be top 12, top 15, top 20. I only think they need to get a little bit better for this team to take the next step, but I do think they're improved enough where they're not going to cost this team games, like you could argue, all four of their losses last year.
Can their defense win you a game?
I don't know about that.
They're going to have to. I mean, that's just every team
in the
NFL.
Because the defense is good enough where they'll win them a couple of regular season games. I don't think Pat's going to be as almost perfect as he was last year. At some point, he's going to struggle, not put up 35 points. The team's going to score, as you said, 24. I think the Chiefs can win a couple of those games. I don't care about that. My concern going forward is once the playoffs come around, if Pat has one of those games or if the offense isn't hitting on all cylinders, at that point, can the defense limit a team? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I think that is established throughout the course of the season. The Chiefs defense over the course of the regular season gave you no reason to think that in the playoffs they were going to magically turn it on. They gave you no reason to think that. They were bad for 17 weeks. That continued once they played an elite team like the New England Patriots. I asked a question about it is, I bet if we look and we go back and look at teams that won the Super Bowl, at some point in the playoff run, they needed one of those games for their defense to win. The Patriots' offense did not win in the Super Bowl. Their defense shut down a great offense in the Los Angeles Rams and won that game. The Eagles, for as high scoring as the Super Bowl was, their defense won them a game against the Atlanta Falcons in that playoff run. I would bet if we go back and we look at every Super Bowl champion over the last 10 years, there was one game that their offense was operating at 70% capacity, and their defense either, whether it was a sack or a turnover or limiting a team to 17 points, and then you won that game 21-17, eventually had to emerge to do that. Has the Chiefs' defense got to that point? There's just no way to know right now.
The Chiefs also, had they won the Super Bowl last year, would have been one of the most incomplete teams to ever win a championship. With the defense that bad, obviously the offense was transcendently good, but most of the time, there's a little bit more balance between the offense and defense. Now, we've seen great offenses like the Rams win the Super Bowl. We've seen great defenses like the Baltimore Ravens win the Super Bowl. But most of the time, the offense and the defense aren't so far apart as the Chiefs were last year. And this upcoming season, I don't think they're going to be nearly as much separation between the offense and the defense again.
I want to play this for you. This is Charles Robinson. This is what he had to say about Frank Clark.
Well, there's even the mentality setter in that locker room. I watched him, literally watched him knock out Jermaine Ifedi in practice.
And
I was there.
That's why the Chiefs got him, to bring that mentality.
Yes. Like he is a brand of nasty.
That is rare.
That is rare even for the NFL.
I think that the Chiefs this offseason, when they looked at their defense and what they needed, I think they needed high energy guys. I think they got that with Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu. I think they wanted guys who were alpha dogs. I think we can agree that's Tyrann Mathieu. Like Tyrann Mathieu has been the leader on whatever team that he's on, that he's been on so far, and Frank Clark seems to have that personality. I think they wanted a different level of accountability. To me, the biggest snapshot defensively from the 2018 season was Eric Berry, who had not played for the Chiefs in like 27 weeks, got on the field and was snapping at players because they were lined up incorrectly. And I'm sitting there thinking, has this been happening the whole time and no one else on the team was able to hold guys accountable? I think the standard for any team is you have somebody that can criticize other players and they don't take it negatively and they can improve their own play. I think that's what they have now. Like, I think Tyrann Mathieu is going to get into it with someone on the defense because they're not doing their job. I think that Frank Clark's going to be able to do that, that if a guy on that defensive line, whether it's Chris Jones, whether it's Emmanuel Ogba, is going to be able to challenge them to elevate their play. I don't think they had that last year. That's not what Dee Ford is. That's not really what Justin Houston is. I think they wanted to go out and find those guys this offseason.
I think that the whole lining up in bad positions and all that, you're right. It has a lot to do with the players. It would more to do with the defensive coordinator and Bob Sutton. So we got that problem taken care of with Steve Spagnuolo. When it comes to Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark, for that matter, we would agree now that those guys are the two leaders of the defense, kind of taking over for Justin Houston and Eric Berry. It's a weird scenario they're in because this whole offseason, CDOT, they've been asked questions about the defense, who's the leader, why they suck so bad last year, the new defensive coordinator. They're the guys who are now the mouthpiece for a defense that, quite frankly, they had nothing to do with last year. So they're in a very unique situation where they're trying to essentially defend a defense that they didn't play for last year, but clearly they're the leaders of the defense this season.
We've been doing our 25 most important chiefs. We reached Kendall Fuller today. He was our 25th most important chief. I think that Kendall Fuller is one of the more important players on the team. Now, I'm not calling him one of the best players on the team. I think we can identify who the top eight players on this Chiefs team are, and then there's a little bit of a gap between those next players. I look at Kendall Fuller's importance just coming in. I don't know if there is a position outside of tight end, and I think that's different because they have the best tight end in the NFL, that is as critical as their position, that they are as thin as they are. They're very thin when it comes to cornerback. That one potential injury, something happens in preseason, because we can agree, we've been following the NFL enough. Somebody gets hurt in the preseason on every team. Some teams will have a major injury that dictates if they can make the playoffs or not. That's going to happen to some team in the NFL. It happens all the time. At training camp, in preseason, somebody's going to get hurt. It's football. They're going to twist their knee. Something's going to happen. This team can overcome that in a lot of situations. Like, they were able to overcome not having Sammy Watkins last year. Now, their offense was better when they had Sammy Watkins. They still were the best offense in the NFL without him. They can live with not having Kareem Hunt last season. We saw that with Damian Williams. Man, I don't know if they can really overcome not having Kendall Fuller for a 7-8 week with that defense with the other guys they have, or something happens to Bashaud Breeland, or Charvarius Ward doesn't work out. Like, that could be the position that they are most thin at on the rest of their roster.
It depends which version of Kendall Fuller it is, because if it's last year's version of Kendall Fuller, where, again, you could argue he might have been the best cornerback on this team, which isn't saying much. He had 64 solo tackles. Or is it going to be the Kendall Fuller from 2017 who had four interceptions, had one forced fumble, and who Pro Football Focus called the sixth best cornerback in all of football?
I don't think they're going to get that one. I think the one you were talking about just played alongside an elite corner. Like, he might have a lot of Marcus Peters in him. Like, I think Marcus Peters is a fantastic player. If you go back and watch last year, there was a different Marcus Peters with Aqib Talib and without Aqib Talib. Without Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters looked really bad last year. And the moment Aqib Talib came back and they changed his role a little bit, Marcus Peters looked like the one we saw for a lot here in Kansas City. So I'm just not counting on 2017 to show up. You had Josh Norman on the other side and played at an elite level. So Norman's guarding the other team's best receiver. It allows your responsibilities to be different. So I don't think we'll ever see 2017 Kendall Fuller emerge for the Chiefs, because I don't know if that one's real or not.
I guess I just don't understand why you think he's quite as important as you do. Again, if he goes down, it's going to suck. But the cornerback position is so weak as it is that we're calling him a number one on this team. Is he a true number one cornerback? No, he's more like a two or a three. So if he goes down, obviously the defense is going to get worse. But I think there's probably 7, 8, 9, 10 guys that I would name ahead of Kendall Fuller that I just as well assume stay healthy.
I think they have a bottom five cornerback group in the NFL. And the Chiefs gave up. They gave up more first downs than any team in the history of the NFL.
That's
like
crazy.
You love saying the coin flip. I always argue they kept playing after the coin flip, and they could not get off the field. Think about how bad their secondary was with the best pass rush arguably in the NFL. Man, that's hard to do. Typically, your secondary gets exposed if you can't get pressure on the quarterback. The Chiefs could get pressure on the quarterback last year and just couldn't cover anybody.
That's the part that's so scary, is they're probably not going to get to the quarterback as frequently as they did last year, and we all expect the secondary to get better. How?
And they're basically banking on Steve Spagnuolo is going to be able to fix it. Man, you better be able to coach him up. You better be able to coach up Bashaud Breeland and hope that he hasn't lost a step. You better be able to player develop with Charvarius Ward. You better hope that Keith Reeser from the AAF works out, because if that's not the case and the Chiefs are going to be looking on the waiver wire hoping for that one-year deal like every other team with cornerback in the NFL, you continue to go into a year with the deficiency at a pretty major position. Like I always said, I don't want to treat cornerback like it doesn't matter. And I feel like in our conversation about the Chiefs, we treat cornerback because they're so good at quarterback like it doesn't matter. Man, you got to have at least three good corners in the NFL. I don't know if they got one and a half good corners in the NFL.
I do, and they don't. It's all about Spags and the scheme this year. You're right. That's the plan for the Chiefs. It's new defensive coordinator, new scheme, and obviously a couple of new parts. But they just think because of Steve Spagnuolo and by changing around the form of the defense that they're going to be better, and I tend to agree.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get into the Kansas City Royals, and we'll talk about Whit Merrifield, who is playing like an absolute star. We'll do that next. Coming up is The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in 15 minutes, we will go inside the mind of the machine. I want to read this text really quickly. Well, two texts, actually. Lining up incorrectly costs the Chiefs a Super Bowl appearance and possibly a championship. Another text. No disagreement, but a lot of teams took longer drives to keep Pat off the field. Doesn't change the defense, but I think Pat is the reason teams were going for three-play first downs instead of big plays. I'm a firm believer in the playoffs. What you struggle with, if you lose, will normally show itself, and that's why you'll be out of there. And why I've never subscribed to the coin flip theory, I'm not going to make it seem like I am naive to the fact of the Chiefs would have certainly had a better chance to win if they had won the coin toss.
Oh, they were coming right down the field and scoring a touchdown if they won that coin toss.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know, maybe. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I mean, the Saints got the ball first. They were at home. They didn't go down the field.
Did you see the last 2 minutes of the game, though?
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't know how we can definitively say that. Right. There's a high probability of it. I just feel like now people have definitively said they would have went down the field and scored. I just don't know that. No one definitively knows. I'm just going off what we do know. They gave up three long third downs in that. And that was their biggest weakness the entire year. What have they done to improve that? You can't improve your luck when it comes to coin flips. It's just a 50-50 chance, and then the team decides to kick or receive the ball. The Chiefs gave up 419 first downs last season. You want to know how many the Patriots gave up? 322.
C-Dot, and it's not just that. Like, to the person who said that they weren't giving up big plays, they literally gave up more pass plays of 20-plus yards than any team in the entire league. If you want to look at a percentage rate, 2 out of every 5 passes that went against the Chiefs that was thrown went for a first down, the highest rate in the league. So however you want to slice this up, we can try to explain it away in any possible way. They were the worst defense in the league when it came to being able to get off of the field. That's a problem.
And as bad as it sounds, I actually think the Chiefs defense was maybe a little bit worse than we give it credit.
Really?
For the very simple reason of, I said it all last season, the best player on their defense was Patrick Mahomes, was that their offense was going to score 40, and then you put the pressure on your offense to try to keep up with them. I'll never forget this. You guys remember last year the Chiefs played the Jacksonville Jaguars and we were all excited. It was the best defense against the best offense. Jalen Ramsey was talking. Tyreek Hill was talking. It was a really fun week leading up to it. I don't know what Jacksonville was doing. They ran the ball in the very beginning with TJ Yeldon. Remember, Leonard Fournette didn't play. And then they just thought that Blake Bortles was going to win a shootout with Patrick Mahomes. Instead of trying to grind it out and win that game 17-10, they were like, we have no chance to do that. We got to throw the ball. And I'm sitting there thinking, you're really going 4 wide and just your strategies to throw it around with Blake Bortles? I think that teams felt the pressure of, we know we got to score 35 to beat the Chiefs. And if you know that all the time and the other team's always in passing situations, it makes rushing the passer a lot easier. That, man, the Chiefs defense last year, they weren't good at anything. I'm serious. They weren't good at stopping the run.
They were good at getting to the quarterback.
Yeah, they were good at getting to the quarterback whenever it was obvious passing downs and whenever the team had a really big lead. Like, that game against the Colts goes a lot different if the Chiefs offense doesn't come out firing. I mean, the Chiefs offense scored 2 touchdowns the first 7 plays of the game. Man, it's kind of hard to establish Marlon Mack if you're down 14-0 and it's 11 minutes left in the first quarter. Then you just sick the dogs on them, and that's what happened. Their offense, especially at home, did that every single week. Other than Baltimore, their offense did that every week. We're going to be up 14-0 by the time you put out your fire in your tailgate. That was their best defense all season.
I think that's going to be the case again this year. I just wonder, once the postseason comes around, can the defense step up? Because unfortunately, last year when the playoffs came around, the defense looked a whole hell of a lot like it did during the regular season. Back to that Jacksonville game, the Chiefs broke the Jaguars. The Jaguars 100%. Were coming off of an AFC championship game. Blake Bortles was talking about getting a contract extension. Then all of a sudden the Chiefs beat him. What'd they win? Another 2 games the rest of the year. And that was the one game that Pat wasn't great in. You can look up and down his stats, 6 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns, 300 yards, 350, all these different things. The one game that he was only okay in, I guess 2 games, you could argue the New England game because the first half, the Jacksonville game, Pat was only okay, and the Chiefs dominated that game. Hopefully there can be a couple of games this season where it's not just Pat, but the defense is the reason for the win.
I just always push back on the notion that random chance is why the Chiefs didn't make the Super Bowl last year. That's why I don't like the whole coin flip thing. Two things got them eliminated from the playoffs. Penalties. We knew that penalties were a problem the entire season. Like, I don't know, like, if you were watching the Chiefs last year, it was obvious they committed dumb penalties in dumb times.
I guess I could just stomach a hold or something like that more than a guy lining up offsides like D4 did to essentially cost you a Super Bowl berth.
They played undisciplined football when it came to penalties all year.
Yeah.
And they kept saying, I remember on this show saying, man, that's the problem. Shut up, they're winning. Shut up, they're winning. Okay, all right, that's fine. It was clear they had a penalty. They had more penalties than anybody in the NFL last year. It was obvious the penalties were a problem. And first downs were a problem. What happened? So the play they should have won, they were lined up offsides. They committed a major penalty. And then in the overtime, they couldn't get off the field. That they would have 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-9, 3rd-and-10. Everybody that was watching the game, and it was 60 million people watching the AFC Championship game, knew that the ball was going to Julian Edelman or Rob Gronkowski, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all knew where the ball was going. Everybody seemed to know that but the Chiefs. I don't know how they didn't know it. How many times last year did we watch the Chiefs? And this is what I'm hoping from a scheme standpoint. How many times did we watch this team? It'd be a 3rd-and-7. And then Steven Nelson is damn near in the bathroom trying to cover the guy on 3rd down. That happened all the time last year. Then I'm sitting there thinking, it's not a surprise to me they had the 1st down. You lined up 8 yards off the line of scrimmage, and it's 3rd-and-3. No part of me is surprised that they completed a 5-yard pass to move the chains. I just hope that gets corrected this year.
Well, then you should feel better. They don't have to deal with Steven Nelson. They don't have to deal with D4.
They got Steven Nelson. His name is Bashad Breeland. That's who they got.
We'll see. We'll see. But they don't have to deal with the actual Steven Nelson. They don't have to deal with D4 lining up off sides. And I agree with you. The biggest bugaboo on the team last year was defensive penalties and lining up in wrong positions. They got a new defensive coordinator. So at least those fears you can put to rest for a little while.
My only issue, my biggest issue, the Chiefs went 8-4 last year when they scored at least 31 points. 8-4. They lost 4 times when they scored at least 31 points.
They had a game when they scored 40 and lost. They had a game when they scored 50 and lost.
No, I understand. That can't happen. If we're looking at any one thing that has to change next year, if the Chiefs score 31 points,
you got to win.
You can't lose that game anymore. That can't happen. Last year, for example, the Rams went 10-1 in those games. 10-1. The Chiefs went 8-4. There's your difference between a championship team and a team that gets knocked out in the AFC Championship game. That's what they have to do. You can hold them to 28. Just can't get them to 31.
I think the defense is good enough this year where I can say right now, there's not going to be a game where they score 31 and lose this year. That's crazy to think that it happened 4 separate, all their regular season losses last year.
You're way more certain about their defense than I am. I'm not saying that you're right or wrong. I'm going in with the we'll see, wait and see approach when it comes to their defense. I just don't know one way or the other. There's so many new parts. There's so many new coordinators. There's so many new players. I'm just at the, you got to prove it to me at some point. You've made some improvements on paper. You're not good at corner. You're not good at linebacker. We'll see. I'm just on the I'm waiting and seeing approach. You already got them as the 19th best defense already. I'm not there yet.
I didn't say that. I don't know if they're going to be 19th or 22nd or 25th, but I know what they were last year, 31st. I can tell you they're going to be better than that. New defense coordinator, Frank Clark, Tyrann Mathieu, that's all I need to know. They'll be better than they were a season ago.
I guess I'll correct this. I'm not at the point where I'm 100% certain they won't lose a game 38-31 this season. That seems very much in play for the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe I'm wrong. BK, where are you at? It is still very much in play. They lose a game 38-31.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm still not convinced on this defense just because of the secondary. Like, I have serious questions about whether or not they've actually upgraded the cornerback position. And if you're looking, if I were to ask Chiefs fans in January, rank the most important positions on the team, just flat out, in January after they lose to the Patriots, just moment of honesty, what are the most important positions on the roster in football? Number one is quarterback, no question about it. Number two, for all of them at that point in time, they all would have said cornerback. And the Chiefs this offseason have traded out Steven Nelson. They brought in Bashad Breeland. That's their only cornerback, quote-unquote, upgrade. And we're not even positive that it is an upgrade. The NFL would suggest, based on what they got in salary, it's actually not an upgrade. It could be a downgrade this offseason. So they've got better safeties, no doubt about it. I think their defensive line is going to be better. I absolutely believe they upgraded at the coaching staff. But their cornerback situation still makes me very nervous about what this defense is going to be able to do.
I would just say where I'm at right now, maybe a very simplistic way of saying it. There's two things I feel like I know about this team. They're going to score a lot of points. They're going to be improved defensively. Now, I don't know what the range is when it comes to improved defensively. It could be 25th this season. Could be 19th this season. We'll find out. I don't know. But I feel very confident in those two statements. They're going to score a lot of points this season, and they're going to be improved defensively.
If they're improved defensively, then they're going to win the 12, 13, 14 games that you talk about. They lost all four games last year. Three of those games on the road came to playoff teams by a combined 17 points. If the defense just get a little bit better, then you're going to be right. They're going to win the West and win 12 or 13 games again.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been saying this whole offseason. That's what I think they're going to do. Coming up in just a little bit, we will go inside the mind of the machine. Next is The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Coming up in just a little bit, we will hand things off to our guy, Jay Binkley. But first, let's go inside the mind of the machine.
Waiting, talking.
It was a delayed trip.
Yeah, it was. Bigger offseason loss for the Chiefs, guys. Justin Houston or Dee Ford?
Justin Houston, because they technically didn't replace Justin Houston where they did with Dee Ford.
I'm going to go with Dee Ford just because if there's any one thing as a defensive end that I want, it's pass rush. And he was one of the best pass rushers in the league last year.
Drew Lock finally signed his deal with the Broncos. Will he ever be the starting quarterback for a playoff team?
Yes, at some point. I think Drew's going to be a good NFL quarterback. I don't think he'll be a great NFL quarterback. I think he'll be a capable, good NFL quarterback, though. I think he has all the talent and ability to be.
I think he's in a good spot with the coach that he has right now to be able to make the playoffs. Not to be a contender, but to make the playoffs like 9-7 or something like that. Because Vic Fangio's a great defensive coordinator. He's going to have a good defense in Denver, especially with Von Miller coming off the edge. So he's going to have the defense for him. They've just got to fix up that offense a little bit. Get him some more weapons. Get him a better offensive line. If they can do that, I think at some point Drew Lock will make a playoff, yeah.
I will say about Vic Fangio, I've been doing a little bit of reading just because the Broncos started their training camp today. I see how Vic Fangio won in an interview. Like, reading his quotes and stuff, like, I see how he went in there and knocked out the interview. Now, that's still not what I would have done. I think that's counterintuitive to what the NFL has turned itself into, but I see how he went out there. Like this kind of reminds me of whenever the Chiefs had the number one overall pick, we had EJ Manuel on the show. And I remember hearing him talk, and I was like, that kid's going to be a first-round pick because if you listen to him talk, you'll want to draft him to play quarterback for your team.
Let's keep talking a little football, guys. The Cowboys, to me, are the NFL version of the Colts. Everybody tells me they're great. I just don't see it. Who wins more games this year, the Cowboys or the Colts?
I haven't seen the Cowboys' schedule. I think the Cowboys are a better team than the Colts are.
I'm looking up the Cowboys' schedule right now just because I'm curious who they have in terms of their cross divisional matchups. They've got New England next year. They've got to play against the NFC North. I'm going to go with the Colts just because I think the AFC East, or excuse me, the AFC South is a little weaker.
Chris Carter said if Kawhi Leonard wins a title with the Clippers, only Michael Jordan would have a better NBA resume. Do you guys agree?
Does something have to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar that I don't know about?
No, I think there's a lot of guys. But it was Chris Carter with your boy Nick Wright that had said only MJ would have a better resume than Kawhi Leonard. I mean, that would be three or four titles. How many wins with the Spurs? One?
Yeah, just
that'd be one. Three titles with three different teams. That's a hell of a resume.
Oh, no, it's super impressive. Let's calm down just a little bit when it comes to that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, I think he's going to have a top 10 argument. I actually, maybe this is another hot take that I would be made fun of. I think if he wins this, there'll be a very good argument if he's better than Kobe Bryant. I don't think a lot of people want to have that, even though Kobe has the 5 and Kawhi will only have the 3. Like, if he does this, I think you can make a stronger argument that Kawhi is a better player than Kobe Bryant.
All right, well, while we're here comparing guys to all-time greats, what are the chances Patrick Mahomes has a better career than Aaron Rodgers?
Would define better. Like, I guess I'm asking because Rodgers, I think, has been regarded as a top three quarterback for a decade now at this standpoint.
First ballot Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, what, two-time MVP? Do you think Pat's going to put up those type of things?
Yeah, better probably no, just because I don't know if there's many NFL players that have had a better career than what Aaron Rodgers has. Multiple-time MVP, Super Bowl champion, first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, it's hard to have a better career than that.
I think one thing – I wonder how we're going to remember what Aaron Rodgers has done the last couple of years. Like, I know it's been a lot of it is injury related, but he also basically got his coach fired, and I think it was deserved, but he's also been a difficult teammate for a lot of the guys that are in that locker room. I wonder how we're going to remember this version of Aaron Rodgers and how that'll play into his legacy ultimately. I don't see this part of Rodgers' career being something that Mahomes ever goes through. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think this is going to be something Mahomes has. So from that perspective, in terms of the ultimate legacy of it all, I could see them having pretty similar careers.
How much, if at all, can Terrence Gore help the New York Yankees, and who's the next Royal to be traded?
I don't know the Yankees roster strong enough to know if he's used exactly how he was used in Kansas City when the Royals were good, then he could certainly be an asset. Like, the problem is the Royals were trying to make him something that he ain't. He's not somebody that should be hitting seventh on your team and playing every day, but if he's going to be a specialist and come in and steal bases and be a terror on the base pass, he could absolutely help you. Next player to be traded, flip a coin, I'll pick Billy Hamilton.
I'll go Jake Diekman's the next guy that ultimately gets traded. I think he's going to be a really good player for the Yankees in the playoffs. He's going to have a couple of moments where he gets in. It's a late game. It's a tie ball game, bottom of the eighth. Yankees need to be able to get a run. He steals second and then makes it home on a single that barely gets to the outfield. Like, that's Terrence Gore. We've seen it in Kansas City. He's going to do it again for the Yankees. That's ultimately what he's going to, what's going to be his role moving forward.
Guys, the late, great Robin Williams would have turned 64 years old this weekend. Better Robin Williams movie, Jumanji or Ms. Doubtfire?
I actually don't think I've seen Jumanji.
Really?
The new Jumanji, really.
I've seen the new Jumanji. I actually really liked the new Jumanji. It was, like, different. It was fun. No, I've seen Jumanji. It was a long time. I don't really remember the original Jumanji.
I'll give you another one. How about Good Will Hunting or Aladdin? Better movie.
So different, but I'll go Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, I mean, Good Will Hunting is a better movie.
Rotten Tomatoes actually has Aladdin as the better Robin Williams movie. Guys, the best Robin Williams movie was Good Morning Vietnam.
I've never seen that before.
While we're talking movies, are you guys excited at all for Top Gun 2 to come out?
I've never seen Top Gun 1.
Really?
Never seen it before.
I actually haven't either.
Neither one of you guys seen Top Gun. So you guys crushed me earlier today for not seeing Mulan, and neither of you guys have seen Top Gun. I just want to point that out.
Top Gun, just some of those movies.
No. You should, if you've seen Mulan, you should have seen Top Gun.
Some of those movies are just before my generation that it never was a point for me to go see Top Gun.
C-Dot asked earlier today, what's the TV show you missed out on that everybody else watched? I feel like there are a few of those movies. Like, I think it's more common for me to have missed out on movies from, like, the 90s or the 80s than it is a TV show.
Mine's Breaking Bad. Never seen it.
I mean, you got to think about it, too. In the case of BK, I mean, Top Gun came out in 86.
But
BK,
it's a classic movie. At some point, just because the movie came out. Have you seen The Wizard of
TV
Oz?
TV shows
Have you
now.
Seen Goodfellas?
Are we comparing The Wizard of Oz?
No, I'm saying movies that came out before you were born is not an excuse for not seeing the movie if it's a classic like Top Gun.
So there's a difference, though, because, like, nowadays, you just watch the TV shows. Like, TV shows have replaced a lot of movies for me because you binge watch them and they take up so much time, they consume so much time that you just watch those instead of watching a lot of older movies. So there's a lot of older movies that I'd never seen. I had never seen The Godfather until earlier this year. I corrected that wrong, but I'd never seen it until earlier this year.
Yeah, I think that we underestimate some of those things. Like, I was thinking about this, like, whenever they were doing, they just did this, it was on Twitter, it was circulating, it was like, NBA draft prospects, like, know the 90s. Like, if you are 21 years old, I understand if you don't have a love and appreciation for the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Like, I know, great show that we all love and grew up. Like, why would you have, unless your parents told you to watch it, I see how you missed it. So I get how BK, who was 12
years. I was born in 92.
Yeah, so. I get how you miss a movie like Top Gun. It's not The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, you guys both should have seen Top Gun. A fantasy football draft right around the corner. Who are you taking, Carson Wentz or Drew Brees?
I would take Drew Brees just because I don't know if you can trust Carson Wentz to stay healthy.
I'd take Carson Wentz for the upside. Drew Brees, a lot of people don't talk about this, didn't throw that many passes last year.
No,
he has to be an all-time efficiency level to be able to put up numbers that you're going to want on your fantasy team. Carson Wentz is just going to throw a lot more. So I'll
Brees
take Carson
is the
Wentz.
13th ranked quarterback according to ESPN.com.
Because he didn't throw ratings. That much last year.
Would you rather have Goff or Roethlisberger on your fantasy team?
Probably Jared Goff.
I think I'd go Roethlisberger because he's the opposite of Drew Brees. He led the league in pass attempts last year. He's going to throw a ton.
I was going to make one point, too, about the – I think it's different with action movies. Action movies don't really age like other movies do. I think about it, like think about trying to watch Top Gun, a 1986 movie, for the first time in 2019. I think it just it's not it's like night and day. We're like Wizard of Oz can like translate over time. Action movies typically don't translate.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of excuses.
Some Arnold movies are that way too. No, I should have seen Top Gun, but I just haven't.
I don't feel bad about not seeing Top Gun.
You still going to see Lion King tonight?
That's where I'm going right when we're done here. I'm going to see Lion King. I can't wait.
Be interested to hear your review.
Looking forward to it. I am too.
I bet you he gives it a 6 out of 10. 6 and a half out of 10. It's solid.
No, if it's the same movie as the last one, there's no way that I don't like it. Thanks so much for listening. Back again tomorrow. Download the radio.com app. Also on iTunes. Just to drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.